for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 31st, 1983. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Charlene Feit and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon.
That's Charlene on short notice, but that's all right. But the Lord's given us her and several around here revelations about different things. And we've thanked the Lord for it. The last two or three years, we've had some very astounding understandings of the Word on different subjects. And the Lord revealed unto Charlene just recently the curse of tobacco. Now, that may sound, but the curse of it. And there's more to it than just what I've just said, the curse of it. There's lots more to it than that. And Charlene did a study on it and found that it is deeply enrooted with the history of America, and we need to get it broken and get it broken off of us and off of our land. And I'm going to let her talk about it when she comes up here, but I don't know if Irma wants to. I see she's got her notebook there. I don't know if she wants to talk.
Not yet.
Not yet? All right. I see Charlene got through looking in the concordance back there, whatever she was looking up, and so I'll ask her to come on up and tell us what the Lord revealed to her since we saw her last about the curse of tobacco.
Well, I will say this to begin with. The Lord has blessed me in coming to the campground down here, and I've learned a lot of things. And I mentioned this one time with Irma, and we were talking. And I said, Lord, I told Irma, I said, when I come, what I have learned in the past from some other speaker, and then what I learn at the present camp meeting, I can put them together, and God is making a whole. And as I continue to add to that, I'll get just one little bit from one speaker and a revelation of what he has said, and God pricks that into my spirit. And I go home and I study it out. There's a lot of things that I've heard at the camp meeting, and I've gone home and I've gone through dictionaries and encyclopedias and history books and the Bible, and I found out then it is mine. As I have studied it and confirmed it, then it's not what they said. I went home and I studied it, and I found out it was truth, and the Lord said truth would set me free. So at the Thanksgiving camp, when I was down here, I bought the book by Win Worley, Eradicating the Host of Hell. And so I went home, and I began to read this book. And I came to chapter, I don't know what chapter, it isn't numbered as a chapter, but it's on page 27. And it's the battle with cigarettes. And when I read this, the Lord began to share with me in my spirit, because I had never had any scriptures about smoking, and it was a problem in my family. My husband had smoked since he was 6 years old. My father had smoked, and I had brother-in-laws that smoked. I had a sister that smoked. I tried it, and I would lose interest in it and burn a spot on the table or something, and it just didn't hold any interest for me, but I had been in it all my life. There were a lot of people, or several people, in our prayer group at home that had been involved in it, in just being in the room where smoke was, in the atmosphere. And so the Lord revealed to me that it was a curse. But the only scripture that I'd ever had was in 1 Corinthians 3:17, where it says that you don't defile your body. That the person who defiles their body, God will destroy. Well, I thought they were defiling their body because of all the things of medical science. And they said it was, you know, this kind of thing. But I didn't have any further other scripture to go on. Then I read this article in Win Worley's book about the battle of cigarettes. And it tells in here about the spirit of depression that goes with it. I had had a terrific battle with depression. I'd been under psychiatric care for 3 years when I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord delivered me from that. But I didn't know where it came from. And there were a lot of things that I didn't know where it came from. And the spirits of confusion and mind control, and there are a lot of hindrances and spirits of heaviness. And
It also says that people that have high blood pressure, whether you've ever smoked a cigarette or not, this spirit can trigger it. If you've just been in the room, if you've been around it and breathe those in, what they can do. And Brother Worley makes a note here in his article about people who are forced to be in smoke-filled atmosphere can be affected because they can breathe those spirits right in. Just before lunch, during the lunchtime, I was sharing with a lady here, and she didn't understand that spirits are breath. And that you don't have to have a screaming, yelling fit and fall down in the floor and ride like a snake to get rid of demons. Whenever you're out in the cold air, you can see your breath as it comes out. But it's coming out anyway in a room or anything. So when you breathe that out, you can breathe the foul air out and you can breathe in the Holy Spirit of God. And you can get rid of those spirits just in that way. And she didn't understand this. She was just burping and yawning until her jaws felt like they were going to break. But she kept saying, I didn't get rid of anything. I didn't get rid of anything. Nothing left me. And we finally got her to see. And as soon as her attitude and her sight changed, then her whole countenance changed. And it was different. But she didn't realize in that sense. So in a smoke-filled atmosphere, you can receive all these spirits. And so Brother Worley mentioned in this book, and then I took it from there, he makes a statement, which I'm going to read out of his book, and I know that Brother Worley well enough to know that he wants people helped, and he is after the devil, and he wants people delivered. So without getting his permission, I know if he was here, he would have given you this. The grand pipe, or pipe of peace, was first observed among the Indians of the upper Mississippi country by the French, and they call these pipes calumet. According to the Indians, the people who smoked the pipe and the things that worked behind them possessed power to make the world a better place in which to live. This world will never be a better place to live without the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a ritual associated with the pipe, and the underlying idea was a bond of brotherhood. There is no brotherhood unless it's with the Lord Jesus Christ and his body. Anything aside from that is evil and it's wickedness and it's of the occult. The presence of these calumet pipes was to cause a softening of hearts and unite those present in a binding pledge to a bond of friendship. It was not only a symbol of peace and brotherly love, but it was a charm to compel it. The entire world learned of the use of tobacco from the Indians. Smokers today are paying silent and unconscious tribute to the ancient aboriginals. Historically, the calumet pipe was considered a sacred pipe to offer smoke to ancient aboriginals. Historically, the calumet was considered a sacred pipe to offer smoke to the demon gods above and below. Tobacco was looked upon as a sacred plant, and burning it brought favor in the eyes of the gods. Even a member of an enemy tribe who entered in a house and smoked with the host on this pipe was guaranteed protection and safe conduct when he left. Several Indian tribes burned incense for a purifying medium or an acceptable offering to the unseen. Some Eastern tribes did not smoke the pipe in a sacred ceremony, but they burned tobacco in little small fires, and this smoke offering was believed to ascend to the powers to whom they prayed. As the use of tobacco as an offering to the gods continued, it was rolled in corn husks, and the predecessors of modern cigars and cigarettes, inhaling the smoke was incorporated into the rituals, and both the smoke and the aroma continued to have a serious place in the religious rituals and ceremonies. Now then, I don't know how much you know about the history of the United States of America, but the United States of America, when they came here, all of this land was owned by the Indians, and they lived here. And in the settling of it, they made peace treaties with our United States government officials. And the pipe of peace was smoked to seal the treaty. And these treaties have been broken time after time with our government. And this brought displeasure from the Indians toward our government, and therefore they put curses on the land. This much we know. And history tells us this, if you'll search this out in history. There was no treaties with the Indians the pipe of peace was not smoked. And I did not know till I read that article and then the history, and I went to work on it. Then I found out that the Indians' purpose, those Indians were unbelievers, none of them were believers at the time they smoked that pipe. And in smoking that to a demon god, and they knew it, and whether our government officials knew it or not, they entered into it. This was a sacrifice. When you light a fire, you've lit a sacrifice. And they lit the sacrifice unto demon gods. And when they did this, it brought a curse upon our land because of what God says in His Word. And when after I did the research on this, then to me, cigarette smoking and the use of tobacco in the land of America is not only a personal sin, it's a national sin. And only the children of God, the body of Christ, and the spiritual warriors will bring this down because it's a stronghold. And also, it has been an acceptable thing in the body of Christ. I cannot name the author or the name of the book, but I have seen it advertised in Christian magazines. I smoke cigarettes, and I have the Holy Ghost. And I've seen that advertised, and I don't know who wrote it, but they did. And smoking cigarettes is acceptable in the body of Christ. But the use of tobacco comes in more than just cigarettes. It comes in pipe tobacco. It comes in snuff. It comes in cigars. It comes in chewing plugs of tobacco. The use of tobacco and the encyclopedias and the dictionaries will verify what I'm telling you, that it stated at the beginning it was a poison. Now, our medical science here in the United States of America has been putting out this kind of information for several years. It's on all of the products that you buy it, that this could be injurious to your health. Well, it can be more than injurious to your health. And they've been putting this out. Well, it was a poison taken into your body, but it also is a narcotic. And a lot of people have spirits of narcotic. My husband, and the Lord gave me a word this last year, and my husband used to come to the prayer meetings, and after the singing was over, he'd go sound asleep, and it bothered me something terrible. I about tried to break his ribs a time or two, waking him up, but it didn't work. And the Lord gave me a peace about it this last year, and then he gave me this word. I was praying one morning about it, and I've been searching the Lord, and I said, Lord, isn't there anything that you can do to help Charlie stay awake in the meetings? And the Lord said, well, you know, he said, I went to sleep one time in the boat, and it upset all my disciples. And I just sat down. I was walking about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I just sat down in the middle of the road, and I said, oh, Lord, you wouldn't do that to me. And he said, yes, I would. So I said, well, I'll just get rid of all that. So I had peace about that. And then the Lord gave me these scriptures, and it put it in a whole different light. And my husband has repented, and he had deliverance. And praise the Lord. When you give it to the Lord, He sometimes works things and miracles that we're not expecting Him to do. But this is what I want to share with you. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus 34, we'll begin to show you what God showed me in the Word. In this 34th chapter of Exodus, the Lord is talking with Moses about hewing out the tables of stone and writing upon them and being ready in the morning and coming up to Mount Sinai and a man coming up with him. And in the 5th verse, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now then, that gives me scriptural grounds that the sins of my forefathers, the government officials in this land, smoked a pipe of peace, of tobacco, to demon gods, bringing a sin down upon this whole nation of people, the sins of our fathers. If you've been following along in the magazines and in the deliverance ministry, you know of the teachings that have come to us of the sins of our fathers that have brought us under curses that we didn't even know about that we have to be forgiven for. Now in verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons and their daughters, and go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Our government officials and all of the people that was in the beginning of this land made a covenant with the inhabitants here with their demon gods. And this was against the word of God. And it has been a snare in the midst of us for several hundred years because they did this. And I don't know about the rest of you, but my ancestry has been in Indians. My grandfather was a half Indian. And I've been battling now for some 10 years to get rid of the idolatry and the Indian heathen things that have come down within us. You know, God said that we were not to be like the heathen. And because it sometimes a lot of people say, well, why don't you soften that? God says an unbeliever is a heathen. Well, we're not to be like heathens. And we're not to accept their ways. And yet, there's a lot of things that we do, and we take pride in it, and we overlook it, and we like to compromise, and we like to say, well, you're just being too strict. God's going to have a people, and they're going to be without any spots, and they're going to be without blemishes, and they're going to come through. And God is giving revelation in this day to clean us up if we'll receive it and accept it. That's right. And, brother, when I was down here Thanksgiving, I not only bought that book and took it home with me, and I came with an order for a copy for everybody in my prayer group. I had to come to camp, Eradicating the Hosts of Hell, because everybody wants a copy of the book so they can learn and help the other members in their family that have been involved. So, in this, Brother Glenn gave me a set of tapes on Milton Green's teaching on the covenant. And that turned me upside down in several hundred ways since I went home. And I found out that I made a covenant with God. And I was ignorant of it. They don't teach that sometimes. They just stand up here and they preach and they say, well, if you just come up here to the front and bow down and shake my hand and do all this and everything, the Lord Jesus will just clean you all up. Yeah, he will. But you don't know a thing about how he's going to do it. And sometimes you get all discouraged and you get despondent and you get to saying, well, I'd like out of this. And this wasn't what they said. But we entered into a covenant and it was sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God looks upon that real serious.
That's right.
He doesn't take it for granted and he looks upon it. And I entered into that covenant and I said, Lord, I've broke it and I just broke it in a lot of ways. And right here was a breaking of the covenant with God. God sent those people over here for freedom to worship him. That was the purpose in this land being settled in the first place, was to have a freedom to worship God. And one of the things they did then was to make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land and to light up a sacrifice and seal it with unto demon gods. And that needs to be broken. And so the Lord showed me this. And then you'll have to go through if you have a good concordance, look up about the heathen ways, look up about sacrificing to them. God never did approve of it, and I never did find where he changed it. And in the New Testament, how the Lord Jesus Christ came against Satan was with the words out of Deuteronomy. And if Deuteronomy was effective for the Lord Jesus Christ in coming against the devil, he'll do the same for you. In the New Testament, let's go to the First Corinthians 8. This whole chapter is on sacrifices that are offered up to demons. That's what this whole thing is about. Whether you're eating meat or what you're doing, if it's offered up to a demon god, this chapter covers it. A lot of people don't think so, but I believe it is. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if any man love God, the same is known of him. I'm not going to go down and just read all of this. But as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, people have been known to chew tobacco up and swallow it. And there's lots of snuff that runs down their throats that's almost eaten it, isn't it? And we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. And we know this. But the spirits that are behind all this, and when they do it deliberately unto a God, and that's what they did, then it's in a different light. In verse 9, a lot of people think that they have liberty. They say, well, I've got liberty to do this, and I have liberty in God to do something else, and I have liberty to do something else. Our government officials felt that they had the liberty to smoke the pipe of peace, but they have brought bondage to hundreds and hundreds of people. And in verse 9, it says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours will become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Do you know that the children, when a person starts smoking or dipping snuff or any of that stuff at the age of 6 years old, like my husband did, they're weak. Our children and our grandchildren are in a way weak because they are not yet adults. And they follow after people that they see, that they trust in, and if they do it, why isn't it right for them to do it? And so these children are weak in ways, and many of them are snared before they ever have an opportunity to understand what God's Word says. For if any man see that thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? My husband never knew such a thing had happened until we begin to share in this article. And there are hundreds of children that were ensnared with tobacco while they were children, and they did not know that this was it. Their conscience had no opportunity to be any different because they were emboldened, like it says here, to do those things which they saw others doing. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. In the article, you'll find out that it brings spiritual dullness. I have heard the testimony of people who have quit smoking and quit using tobacco that several months later that they were more alert, more able to remember things, and they said they didn't realize how fogged up their brain was until they got off of tobacco. And it says, when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you're sinning against Christ. This is a sin against the Lord Jesus Christ, not just against the brethren. And it says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. There have been many a time when I sat in a room, and it was so smoke-filled that I was offended. I would smother and choke. There have been others who have done the same thing. And then after several hours, then you have that, they have that old nicotine breath that just nearly knocks you down. And there's times when you're offended. And it says here that Paul says in the writing here that he won't do any of that as long as the world stands if he makes his brother to offend. You know, most people who use tobacco in any form do not really care if you are offended. They really don't care if you are offended. They just go right ahead. And so here it says, and the first one of the things that Jesus Christ left in the commandments was that if we loved one another, we would do it by keeping his word. And so how much do we love the brethren, and how much do we love the Lord Jesus Christ really first, and how much do we love the brethren that we won't do things that will cause others to stumble and be offended? We haven't come to that place yet. And in Romans 14 is another scripture. In Romans 14:19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. If we're causing people to stumble, we're not edifying one another. So that's what this is talking about. And it says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. I believe the work of God has been destroyed in a lot of people because of the use of tobacco. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. If people are doing it and they're offending others, then he's destroying the work of God. And it says we are not to provoke one another to wrath. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything, whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. There's three things there. Stumbleth, offended, or made weak. If we have faith, we need to have it to God. As he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I do not believe that you can smoke a pipe or tobacco or something that was made for the purpose, and it was used for the purpose of offering sacrifices to demon gods, that you can ever do it in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 16, it says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We are the temple of God, and therefore we cannot have agreement with an idol. And you have to agree with a spirit behind tobacco before you'll ever smoke it, use it, or any form. You have to make an agreement. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. And that's a covenant in one way. You've made a covenant to disobey and to light it up. And ignorance, you know, the devil likes it when we're ignorant. He really likes it when we stay ignorant. And it says here that we are the temple of God and God dwells in us and we're to come out and touch not the unclean thing. You know, all that brown juice and all those old smelly spittoons and ashtrays and leftover cigarette butts and things are very unclean. And all of the catarrh that coats the lungs and the nostrils, it's very unclean. And so he says here we're not to touch the unclean thing. And God says he'll receive us and he'll be a father to us. And I found out that having ashtrays was really an invite to accommodate someone who was a user to light up a sacrifice to his demon. So after we'd had deliverance in our prayer group, usually I'm the one that goes through the house and gathers up all the idols and takes a hammer to them and breaks them up. So I said to my husband, I said, "Well, do you feel strong enough this morning to take all these?" And I had a stack of ashtrays about that high. And he said, "Yes, give me them." And he went and I didn't have to do that this time. He broke them all up and covered them. So, and then turn to Psalms 18. In verse 31, in fact, this whole chapter is about deliverance if you really read it through, but I'm going to start with verse 31. "For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? And it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms." I appreciated Bob Mixon this morning when he said that we needed to have an attitude of war. If you don't like to fight the good fight of faith, then you'll never be free. "He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them." That's not waiting till they get you down underneath and you're hollering all the time, "Well, somebody help me." It says there you will pursue them and you'll overtake them. "And neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me." I believe that that's what we need to do. And until we hate the things that God hates, we cannot really be spiritual warriors. And God hates all idolatry and idol worship and unto demon gods. "They cried, but there was none to save them, even the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as dust before the wind. I did cast them out as dirt in the streets." And that's what we need to do, spiritual warriors, to bring this stronghold down in our nation. It is a national sin. It's a personal sin. It's a sin in the body of Christ. And when I... Yes. And it's a sin. The wages of sin is death. And so we have, a lot of us have had deliverance. And I've had deliverance before from tobacco. But we started in and we renounced it in our prayer group. And we asked forgiveness. And we didn't just say, "Lord, forgive me for smoking tobacco." At first it was a little bit hard. And because the Lord had given me the revelation, I led them all in the prayer. And some of them couldn't say the words. So they first had to have prayer, and then we had to go through it again. Because it was real difficult for them to say, "Lord, forgive me for offering up sacrifices to demon gods and for breaking my covenant that I made with you when I took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for my sins. And then we ask the Lord to forgive us for our ignorance, and then we begin to command the spirits of nicotine and tobacco and the demons that were behind them to leave us, and then we begin to command the spirits of death to leave. And then during the deliverance, we just quit praying for each other and begin to work on ourselves. And so it lasted for about 45 minutes. And so the Lord just delivered us. And then the Lord, after that night, then the next morning I went to a group with women. And we were sitting around the table and I was sharing this. And one lady spoke up and she said, well, she said, I've got a point to add to all that. She said, I've got to repent for my participation in helping those people keep that habit, because she says, I have given gifts of cigarettes and tobacco and pipes and snuff and chewing plugs and things to the users. Well, then we had to go through it again, and I got more deliverance because I had done that. People who were users, I had given them gifts. I'd helped them along the way. And so I had to get more deliverance. And I remember Brother Worley telling us one time, and I thought, oh, Lord, not like that. He said, we're just like onions. You can just peel it clear down to you're just about that big. And so this was another layer coming off of us. And we got rid of it. And I just praise the Lord. And we're continuing to battle in it nationally and as a body of Christ, because we do feel that it has gone that far.
Now, there's one more to add to that.
All right.
The growers.
Yeah, the growers.
And now then, since you repeated all this, why don't you just stand there and...
All right, the growers and the sellers. Yeah, we need to pray for them. They make much. Yes, and that's another thing. You know, we're real concerned about our nation and things. And I've been praying for some time about the ungodly sins and the ungodly laws that our nation makes that takes my tax money and involves me. So I've been asking the Lord God to reveal all this. I said, Lord, expose all those laws that are ungodly. And I don't want to have any part in it. And they're using my tax money. Well, the government subsidizes the tobacco industry. And I looked in my world book, which was published back in had a printing way back in 1962, I believe it was the printing that I had. And it said that $7 million a day is used for cigarettes alone. Can you think of that? Up to demon gods. $7 million. And that was in 62, and it has definitely progressed. And I believe that this same principle that is given in this book can be used with marijuana, hashish, any of those things that are smoked. That it's up to demon gods.
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Even his name comes out of Mariology.
Mm-hmm. Marijuana. Yes, that's right. So we need to think about this, that it was up to demon gods. All right, Brother Glenn has asked that we do this. All of you that would like to renounce this, you can follow through with this prayer. Our Heavenly Father,
we thank you
for all of the knowledge that you have given to the body of Christ. We thank you for Brother Worley and for the publishing of this book. And Father, we thank you for his perseverance against the evil in this land. And Father, we now come to you to repent.
We now come to you to repent.
And first of all,
we repent
for having had any participation
in offering up sacrifices
to demon gods
of the tobacco industry.
And Heavenly Father, we ask your forgiveness. And for the breaking of our covenant with you. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to remove the curse and to restore us back into your fellowship on this particular thing. And Heavenly Father, we lift up the sins of our fathers and of our nation. For having smoked the pipe of peace unto demon gods. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive And you break this curse of the sins of our fathers for coming down upon us. And Heavenly Father, we lift up the body of Christ. And we ask you to forgive them. And Father, we ask for you to enlighten them. And Father, we ask that this book be sold all throughout the body of Christ, that others may repent of this sin. And Father, we now ask to be delivered of any demons that are left behind for our having breathed or smoked or chewed or dipped the tobacco. And Father, we thank you for this deliverance. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to release us from the wages of sin, which are death, because of this sin. And Father, we lift up to you the growers and the sellers of this industry. And Father, we ask for you to expose this sin all over this nation and world. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. All right, now begin to breathe those spirits out. I command you, you spirits of nicotine and catarrh in the lungs, to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you demons of cigarette and snuff and smoking, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of you demons that have hidden in the liver and the lungs and through our intestines and down into our bones, to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the bloodstream. And Father, by the word of God that is in us, drive them out. The word of God is to drive out the demons, to chase them. And Father, we pursue this enemy that he go under our feet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of you demons of cigarette and smoke and cigars, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of our eyes and out of our subconscious, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And come out of our muscles and our tissues in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you unclean spirits, I command you to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is against you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all you spirits of death that came in this smoking, all you spirits of death, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you spirits of death, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall not destroy these temples any longer. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you spirits of death, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jesus. All right. All you spirits of cancer that are caused by smoking, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and wormwood. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All cancer spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that came in the name of Jesus. All spirits of cancer to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the lungs. Come out of the rest of their body that could be caused by it, in the liver, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of cancer caused by cigarettes and tobacco, the use of tobacco in the lungs and in the liver, in the name of Jesus. Emphysema caused by it, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of emphysema, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that are caused by the use of tobacco, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of emphysema, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to leave. All spirits that have been transferred, all transferring spirits of the transference of the tobacco demons, we command you to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to leave. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to leave. And now, Heavenly Father, I loose upon these people the spirits of the Lord. I loose the spirit of healing into those areas. Heavenly Father, we loose into them the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of counsel and might in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all demons of depression that came in with the use of tobacco. All narcotics and sleepiness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you narcotic spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of you narcotic spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, and depression, and heaviness, and sleepiness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, drowsiness, in the name of Jesus, and fatigue, tiredness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command you to come out and to leave, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to leave. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I loose mental alertness upon these people to take over in their minds and in their spirits and in their hearts. Father, we do. We just loose it upon them in the name of Jesus. And a spirit of peace and understanding to come upon them, Lord, in the ways of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Lord shall come upon them in Jesus' name to restore in those areas. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. Heavenly Father, we bind and command all odors of tobacco, all of the sense of aroma, one of the five senses that we have that the devil plays upon. Heavenly Father, we bind all of the aromas of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all that would have gone in by the way of smell and enticing smells of the devil to pray upon us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's right. And Lord, we ask. Father, we ask you to cleanse our lips and our tongues and our hands for having used these things in sacrifice to demon gods. Father, in Jesus Christ, we loose that forgiveness upon us, Father. And we command those spirits to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of our nostrils, yes, Lord, to cleanse our nostrils in Jesus' name. Father, take a coal of fire off of the altar of God right now and just cleanse our lips like you did Isaiah. Lord, just cleanse our lips and our nasal passages, Father, and cleanse our hands that we have handled anything that we would have sacrificed to demon gods. Heavenly Father, cleanse us, your people, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' holy name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Oh, Father, we thank you, Father, for that, for the love and for the power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. And Father, send us forth to share this with others that they may be set free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I did. I called back.
Okay. There's nothing, Charlie, to do, but see, the Lord wants our incense, our praise, our worship. And Satan wants worship. So when we light up a cigarette and blow smoke, that's burning incense to the god of this world, to Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bible says that incense is an abomination to God. He hates it.
That's right.
Also, that the Lord lives in us, and you're putting blowing smoke in the Lord's face when you take it into you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it has a big effect because I can think back in my past, you know. I use my head just to get that big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that secondhand smoke, see, your head gets the hurting and the throbbing, and it just hurts you so bad you nearly go. And that's from cigarette smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And cigarette smoke.
The believer's praise and his prayers are as the evening sacrifice unto God. And so when we do anything else that is in the way of a sacrifice, God hates it. And so incense, burning incense. Heavenly Father, we ask you to cleanse us and to forgive us for burning incense to demon gods. Lord, cleanse us from that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse us, Heavenly Father, for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, any lingering spirits that would have held on to that incense, we command you to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would have held on in that area, Father. We ask you, Lord, to take the word of God and to drive them out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, any of you demons that are lagging behind because of that incense, we command you to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command you to leave because of that incense in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command you to leave in Jesus' name. All the smoking of opium or any of that, any of you who have ancestors in that area, we command you to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we command all those sins of the fathers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that would have come in through smoking of opium in the Oriental countries in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that would have come down through us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And this could be, I'm not sure, I haven't researched that out. But we have made, our nation has made all kinds of treaties and things with foreign nations. And this is something that we definitely need to pray about, because we do not know sometimes what could happen. I heard a speaker one time say that when Nixon went to China, they said we really needed to pray for him because he could sell us all down the drain while he was over there. And you know, that didn't seem like very much to me at the time. But now I have a different understanding of that thought. That when our officials go on foreign soil or work with foreign nations, which are heathen nations, and even the officials of them and their presidents do not believe in God, and we make treaties and things with them and all kinds of agreements, we could be in more areas than this in making agreements unto demon gods. And we need to definitely pray for our nation, because it will involve us. And it's a serious thing. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the Lord is just revealing and revealing and revealing, because we've got to get all this stuff out of us. I can give you a testimony. Now, being a minister's daughter and being saved since I was a little girl, we were not allowed to do any of those things. But when I got older, I tried cigarettes for a while. And I never did really like them, but I'd gag and everything, but I'd try them. And about 6 or 7 years ago, right after the summer camp meeting, it was really, really hot here in this building. Before we built all this other on, and then we had the high ceiling, it was cold in here like an iceberg. And we'd come in from outside from the hot cars and walk in here, and I caught a terrible cold in my chest after the camp meeting was over. And I would just cough and cough and cough and cough and couldn't stop coughing. And at that time, we didn't have the office building on the other end, and we had sold our offices and bookstore uptown. We were up in this white house, and my office was in the kitchen. And Kevin made tapes back in the living room. And I was just coughing and coughing. And one day, I walked down the aisle, down the hall, and I was coughing all the way. And Kevin just whirled around, and he said, "You sting of death, come out of her in Jesus' name." And I just really started to bring up. And it was a great big fog of smoke came out of me. And I said, "Kevin, did you smell that?" He said, "Yes. Do you smoke cigarettes?" I said, "No, not now, but I used to try them." And I just kept on, it was kind of astounding, and we didn't have any, I never had thought about it before. And I looked up about the sting of death. And even on the cigarette packages, I understand there is a notice that they can cause cancer. And people don't pay attention to that. They don't even care that they cost $1 a pack. And so about 2 days, I used to go down to our mobile home and fix sandwiches for Glenn and Kevin and I. We were the only three working here at the time. And after they'd go back to work, I would go in the living room and sit down and just wait upon the Lord. Just kind of not talk or anything, just wait upon the Lord. And while I was in there, I had thought for a long, long time that cancer was caused from witchcraft and rebellion. And I didn't understand too much about it. But as I was sitting there in the Spirit of the Lord, and you can go into our living room at any time, just sit in the presence of God, and you can just feel God just come up around you, and the angels of the Lord, and I don't know who else, the just men may be made perfect. I don't know who else is up around there. I can't see them. But I can just feel them vibrating strength into me. And I just said, "Lord, deliver me from witchcraft and rebellion because of this and the sting of death that has come out of me. I don't understand it." And I began to cough, and I brought up something like a membrane. It was about this big around. It came from right here, and it had, all I can explain to you is, it had like a ladybug in the middle of this membrane. It was clear, but it had veins running out from the middle of it. And it hurt terrible where it came out, but I never coughed again. That was my full deliverance, and I really and truly believe that I brought up a small cancer. And you know, cancer is rebellious cells. That's how they start, is rebellious cells. They will not let the body They won't cooperate with the rest of the body, and they gather themselves together in a little cell, in a little unit, and they just start rebelling against the body. Our bodies are wonderfully made, the Bible says, and it is made to throw off poison. And I truly believe that I was healed and delivered of a cancer in my lung, and I haven't coughed, only when I'm getting delivered. since then, but I mean, I never really had that hacking, horrible cough. And I never smoked very much. The other night, I was praying with a lady back in the back, and she has always had a very foul breath. And when she speaks to you, she always gets right up in your face. And I didn't really understand it. And I was praying with her, and all of a sudden, I said to her, you know, there is something in your lungs that needs to be healed. And she said, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And she just started crying out. And as I began to pray, the most foul, and I saw inside her lungs, it was just like black, just a black mass in there. And it kept coming out and kept coming out and kept coming out. And when it was all over, she said to me, you know, at one point in my life, I had to stay in a TB sanitarium for 9 months because I smoked so many Camel cigarettes and Lucky Strikes. And I believe, and that woman has been very sick for several years with all kinds of different maladies. And, you know, if we don't have good lungs, we need good, clean lungs and good, clean air to breathe. And I believe that there is a trend in America against this tobacco coming, because you can get non-smoking areas in airplanes now and in restaurants and I guess in theaters. I don't know. I don't go. But I think in all various places now, public places and in offices. And I can remember in the offices I used to work, and last year I had another dramatic, I wasn't planning to do this, but since she's been on this trend, I had another dramatic deliverance. We were talking about liking to smell certain things, and we had been praying for a woman with varnish poisoning in her lungs. It was killing her, literally killing her. And I said, you know, I've always liked to smell vanilla pipes, and I really shouldn't like to smell that vanilla tobacco. But we used to own bakeries years ago, and every time I'd smell a vanilla pipe in the places where I worked, after that I'd always say, oh, that smells like donuts, you know, because we always used a lot of vanilla in the icing on glazed donuts. So last winter, in February, we were having quite a dramatic deliverance service, impromptu, upstairs, not planned, just with the office help and with this woman from Iowa. And so when we finished praying for her, and it was such a deliverance about varnish, liking to smell varnish, she'd worked at Palo Alto Company 24 years, and I said, well, why didn't you transfer out of that department? She says, because I love to smell varnish. And that was a spirit talking out of her, because it said it was such glee. But so they started to pray for me about liking to smell vanilla pipes. Because at Lockheed and RCA and the different companies I used to work, these engineers would have a whole rack of pipes sitting on their desk, and they'd fire up different kinds of tobacco, you know. And most of it I didn't like to smell, but I did like to smell that vanilla. And as they prayed for me, I brought up all kinds of things. I don't know what we're smelling now, but... Oh, what in the furnace. But I don't like to smell that, that's for sure. And then I went a little step further, because I've been married now almost 43 years. And Glenn has never liked coffee, but I used to love to smell coffee perking. And I would drink it. And so I thought, well, I may as well please my husband today. I felt real delivery-fy that day. And so that's a good word. And I said, you know, I really should drinking coffee. And it had become, I was like an addict with it. And we used to perk up a pot upstairs and a pot down here in the morning as we'd come into prayer meeting, much to Glenn's disarray, why all of us who drank coffee would get a cup of coffee and bring it in here while we was praying and reading the Bible, we was drinking our coffee. And then we'd go upstairs, and Patty and I'd make more coffee. And then maybe at 11 o'clock in the morning, we'd make some more, and we'd drink it all down. And then in the afternoon, if we didn't make it, we'd start getting a headache. So I said, well, I want to get rid of this coffee. I don't want to like to smell it anymore. So, and I didn't really know if I really wanted to give it up or not. You know, some people don't want to give up their spirits. So they began to pray for me, and I brought up globs of foam and all kinds of stuff out of my lungs. And to this day, I cannot smell coffee perking. The next morning, I wondered, I wonder how this is going to be tomorrow morning, because I always have to have the coffee in the morning or I get a headache. I wonder what's going to happen. I was just really wondering, and I never had one withdrawal. I never had one headache, and I still to this day cannot smell coffee perking, so I have no desire for it, and I'm pleasing my husband better, I hope. Well, I wasn't going to talk about any of this.
That's just old muddy drip water. The cows
are Don't tell them. Don't tell them. the meeting started a week ago today, And they've been long, and we've really had meetings from early morning till late at night, 12, 1 o'clock at night, and lots of private prayers and rooms. And God has been very merciful and gracious to us. And I know there's a lot of you have come in today that's new, and we do not want any of you to go away disappointed and not having prayer. And some of the girls, that we were having a wonderful meeting upstairs, and we were on a subject that's very unheard of to be talked about in public. But the Lord was really moving up there, and I was hesitant to stop the meeting, thinking and wishing that we could have just kept on with the ladies that was up there, but we did stop. But this afternoon, are you going to talk? You're going to talk in the morning? I just want to mention why deliverance is so important. You know, when we first get saved, there are various realms in God, and in the 30-fold realm, that's where we come into Christ, and we're recreated a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we begin to grow, and He begins to grow up in us. And, oh my, we pray, and we get an answer right away. We don't even have to praise Him for it. Or even, I don't think too much thanksgiving is given. We just expect God to answer in our naked faith, and we just believe God for anything. And He answers us. And we stumble around, and we fall, and we pass out tracts, and we witness, and we just really are gung-ho for the Lord Jesus, and that's the way it should be. But pretty soon things reach a screeching halt because we must move on. All walking with God is progressive. We must keep moving on. Otherwise, if we stop and say, I have arrived, I've got it all, then we immediately start to back up, and pretty soon we're compromising and just living a normal carnal life. And if we're a 30-fold Christian, then that means that 30% of us is Jesus, and 70% of us is our carnal mind, our carnal nature. And that's in our carnal mind and nature is where the enemy can live and work. And God is very merciful to us. But one day he tells us, now some people he tells right away. Some people go for months, and some people get the Holy Spirit the very first night they're saved. And I don't understand God, but that's the way he does it. Sometimes he heals everybody and delivers them all the first night they get saved. You know, I mean, they just quit cursing, drinking, all of this gross sins. But that is the way God wants to do it. It may depend on how many people are praying for us. He wants us to move on. He says, come on up higher. So we go into the 60-fold realm, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in us. And we begin to obey the Lord better and hear His voice. Now he says in John 16, I think it is, I no longer call you a servant. I'll call you a friend if you'll do whatsoever I tell you. Now that's total obedience, isn't it? And what God is after in us today, I believe, as Christians, as overcoming Christians, as maturing Christians, for us to obey quickly when He speaks to us, to obey quickly and not argue with Him. Just be so caught up in the Lord and so wanting to please God that we will obey quickly.
Find all the reasons why you don't have to obey the Scripture.
That's right. And in my early days, My parents, when they were saved, 1932, and my brother and I were all saved in the same revival, and Pentecost and Assembly of God was all new. I'd never been to church in my life. I was 10 years old, never been to church in my life except to my grandpa's funeral. But I tell you, my dad came into a Holy Ghost baptism like I have never seen. He spoke in divers tongues from the beginning. He couldn't speak in English for 3 days. He went up and down on his horse to all the neighbors and farms, talking in tongues to them and singing in tongues, much to my mother's chagrin. And she cried all the time, and my dad laughed all the time. Healthy sides, couldn't stop laughing. And, of course, we children, we just looked at him, didn't know what was going on. And finally, the preacher, the evangelist, had to come out there and tell him what they had. And one day, I'll never forget this as long as I live, and my dad was kind of a dramatic person, and we had, like, what they called a slide in those days. From the dining room into the kitchen, you could slide your food in. It had a little shelf there, a window. And he always laid his glasses up there. He had the mumps, and they settled in his eyes when he was in his 20s, and he wore glasses for a 72-year-old man. Real, real thick glasses. And one morning, I was standing right there, and he started to reach for his glasses. And when he started to reach for them, an invisible hand jerked his arm back like that. And he did it again, and then he said, "What is going on here?" And he could not pick up those glasses. And all of a sudden, he realized he was totally healed. Totally healed. And God did some miraculous things. The first thing they did after they got saved, they threw all of the medicine in a cold hot and took it to the dump, to the pond, threw it in the pond. My mother was on all kinds of nerve medicine, and my dad was on pills and stuff, and we started to walk in faith, believing that God was our healer. And when I got married, when I met Glenn and married Glenn, I had not been to a doctor since we were saved. Didn't know a thing about a doctor. But after the war, World War II came then, right after the next year after we got married, and we moved to California and got jobs and, you know, the rest. It was easier to take an aspirin than it was to pray for a headache. And we got sort of away from prayer. And in fact, we didn't even know how to pray. We had just really stopped dead still. We were taught we had everything. We thought we had it all. We were just taught that. And whenever anything would happen in our family or anything, we'd have to send my folks the money to come out on the train, the El Capitan or one of those other Santa Fe trains, real fast to get out there and help us pray about our business or about anything that we needed prayer for. And I praise God that finally one day a man brought the deliverance message to us. And I believe in the 60-fold realm, as we move on up, God wants us to move on into that third realm. I was talking to Bob Mixon out there, and he was out there a while ago talking. And if you study the tabernacle, and I'm not going to go into it because it's getting real late, but the old tabernacle of Moses is a real good and wonderful type study to study. And what we're all doing today is pressing toward the Holy of Holies. Now, by faith, we could go in there any day, by faith. But experientially, I don't know anybody yet that's really been in there. But we're moving toward that realm. And I was studying something the other day, and it said that in the third realm, as we approach, I suppose, 65% and then 70% of us is filled with Jesus, we will begin dancing before the Lord, leaping before the Lord, and of course, worshiping the Lord. And in this third realm, we'll get quieter. There won't be no chatter, chatter, chatter. It'll be still. You know, if you knew if God was sitting right here, when you come in the sanctuary, you would quiet yourself down in reverence. And I want to reverence Almighty God more than I've ever reverenced Him. And I believe, and Glenn and I have talked about this a long time, and we've heard it preached this week, that the mature people, the ones who are going to move into total perfection, and Romans 8 calls it the manifestation of the sons of God, that it will be those people that will administer the tribulation. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they were glad. Egypt was glad for them to go because they were troubling Egypt. And I've had a few experiences where just walking down the street, demons would cry out. And I didn't do anything about it. I just let them cry out and walked on. But we have the presence of Almighty God in us, and we are moving into that hundredfold realm. And I believe that soon and very soon, we're going to see people with this full anointing. And as Bob Mixon said about walking into hospitals and cleaning them out, way back in the 40s, Dr. Price used to tell us in his big tent meetings. He used to come to Illinois to the Assembly of God camp meetings, and my mother was healed there miraculously once. And he used to tell that in the last days, laymen would walk into hospitals and clean them all out, but nobody would know who did it. Now, see, we got a long ways yet to go, but it could come quickly through deliverance, because those are spots and wrinkles and blemishes in us where we want to be seen of men. We want men to know that we did it. We're the ones who prayed. We're the ones. See, and God's not going to have that. It's going to be all God and none of us. All the Lord and none of us. And I'm believing for that. I'm moving toward that. And that's why we need deliverance. Because as we cast these things out of us, your logical mind, I've always worked with engineers, your logical mind says, my logical mind would say, if I get rid of a great big lump in here of satanic power, and then it gets all washed out by the blood of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit comes down and fills that up, I've got more of the Holy Spirit in there than I had the day before. And if I had my way about it, I would want to get all delivered today. But you see, the Lord doesn't really work like that, because we'd probably be unmerciful to everybody else if they didn't get it that way. I was telling somebody, Mrs. Beale in Detroit, when she received the Holy Spirit, she received it praying early in the morning, drying her hair with her head stuck in the oven. And so that's the only way she knew to pray people through to get the Holy Spirit. So she'd call in her friends. She even ran down the street to her pastor, speaking in tongues and telling him, come on, come on, come on. And he came with her, and she stuck his head in the oven, and he received the Holy Spirit when she laid hands on him. And see, we get in all these trends of this is the way it should be done, and all these meetings this week have not been the way maybe that we planned them, although we like to have Holy Ghost meetings. And upstairs in the ladies' meeting, we've had a lot of Holy Ghost afternoon meetings, and I think the little girl from El Paso is gone, but she spoke to us yesterday. They've had some phenomenal deliverances and experiences, and the Lord is taking them very swiftly. 2 years ago, they were here, heard about deliverance, and I didn't even realize. Sometimes I guess I say things, and it isn't really me. It's the Holy Spirit, and I don't even remember it. But she told me as we were walking up those steps to the second floor, I looked at her and said, you need deliverance from adultery. Now, in my own self, I would not walk right up to you and say that. I hope I wouldn't. But see, the Holy Spirit spoke right out. And she told how she was delivered, tremendous deliverance. And she isn't ashamed of it because it's going to help a lot. Because when you look around at the amount of lesbians and homosexuals, and they're just flying around all over, and it's in the body of Christ, we have had many ministers come here that needed deliverance from that. And she was tremendously delivered from lesbianism. And she says, I'm not ashamed of it. The devil used to fight me at first. But she said, one day I gave my testimony at the Women's Aglow, and I got such peace afterwards, and he never fought me anymore. You see, when we bring these things out in the open, Satan flees. He cannot stand light. The light of God dispels the darkness, and he will leave. And that's why we need to be so honest with our own selves and with the deliverance people that are trying to help you. Because if you're honest, those spirits, they don't even have to make any commotion. Because when you just say, yes, I have sinned, Lord, cleanse me by the blood, I don't want this anymore, Lord, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, Lord, deliver me, those things will just leave like that. And there's more than deliverance. Don't think there isn't, because the Bible says we overcome evil by doing good, doesn't it? It's more than casting out. But casting out is valid. And, you know, you can deliver people who don't want to be delivered by the cleanness of your own hands through intercessory prayer. And we deliver lots of people who smoke that way. They don't even know we ever pray. And just praise God. And I don't want them to know. And I am an experimental type person, having worked with scientists and engineers so long, and they experiment with everything and they try. When we were first vendor on the moonshot program, and they tried various ways to get those men on the moon. For years we worked on that project. We worked on it for about 5 years, and we sold our business, sold the business in 1965, and then when did they actually go to the moon? 67 or 69, and we had worked night and day on that project, just typing, and they were trying to figure out, for instance, what they were going to do with their waste body materials, and they would try to figure out to recycle it and re-drink the urine and re-purify it, and they do it 40 different ways until you just want to hold your head and say, I wish they'd make up their mind. And day after day, we'd have hundreds of papers coming through, retyping, and until they got it down perfect. Do you realize that that was a perfect shot the first time they went to the moon? It was. Otherwise, they could have. And they used to be so afraid going through the Van Alten Belt, because that is what they called outer darkness. I don't know if they got it from the Bible or not, but that was extremely hot, and nobody could get a message to them or from them. They had to pass through that belt without communication, and we never knew if they was alive or dead.
What? They still do.
And they still do. Oh, yeah, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed.
Yeah, but in the beginning, they didn't know if a person would live going through that, if it would kill them going through it.
No, they didn't know. They didn't know, but they figured it all out this way and that way, and they made troubleshooting charts, and they did this and they did that. And I used to say to Demas Shakarian, you know, if the Christians were as work brittle or what's the word I want to use?
Dedicated.
If they were so dedicated as these engineers were to get that man on the moon first, we'd have Jesus back to Earth. But you see, there's too many namby-pamby, and we've all been namby-pambies, and we've put up with things. We've entertained evil spirits in us, and we've tried to think, oh, well, it can't be. It's not in there. And then one day, in the congregation of the righteous, it'll manifest. And there it is. And God, and it's no sin. It is no sin to have these things. It's a sin to keep them when you know they're in there. Now, a lot of times we don't know. And we've had all kinds of experiences here. And the one thing that I want to tell you is that to move into this third realm and to move into the Holy of Holies, we're going to have to suffer. Jesus had to suffer because why? To learn what? Obedience. Are we any different than Jesus? There's much suffering. There was much suffering in early Pentecost. In a small church, there might be 500 people outside looking in the windows, throwing rotten eggs in, throwing rocks into my daddy while he preached, and all of that. It was much persecution. But there's much, it's not persecution today. We have it easy. But our suffering is because of the enemy trying to keep us from that best, that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we murmur, we complain, the children of Israel, there are examples, the Bible says in Corinthians, they are our examples, and we need to study the Old Testament. We were taught not to study it. Well, we could have Psalms 23 if we wanted it. We could have Psalms 91 if we wanted it. And we could have Isaiah 53. But you take Deuteronomy 28, oh no, not at all. That's Old Testament. But if you will begin to study the Old Testament, study the first five books of the Old Testament, and that's our examples. The children of Israel are our examples. And you will see that the Lord is constantly telling them to obey, and to obey. And they rebelled, and they rebelled, and rebelled. Brother Elwood used to say the only place for a rebellious person is a hole in the ground. That's God's place for them. Because he opened up the ground, you remember, and they all fell in. And a grave. And a grave. And I don't want to go to the grave. I want to obey the Lord. And I know all of you do. And all these hindering spirits are what keeps us from obeying. And we need to ask the Lord to show us. Maya, I've been praying with people this week. And the workers around here and workers from other areas, they're calling out things that I never even thought about. But see, you might say, oh, God is nitpicking us. That's right, he is. He's showing us. And the closer we get to God, he comes in fire. And it takes an iron, you women know, it takes a hot iron, real hot iron to iron out wrinkles. And in this third realm, that's what he's doing. He's getting rid of these wrinkles in us. And all of you can move much quicker. You see, we don't have to worry about these bulbs. We don't even have to figure out how to do it. Just flip a light. And there's a lot of people have been the forerunners, have learned about it before, and we can learn from everyone else. We can learn joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom, from Bob Mixon. He just jumps and bubbles and dances on one leg and whirls. And I was watching the other morning before he's preaching. He's back there getting himself, I guess, wound up. And that's good. Leaping and praising God before he wasn't. Nobody was looking at him. I was sitting back there where I noticed him. I didn't pay attention much to it, but he was worshiping the Lord. You can worship the Lord in your own home. And in the next magazine, as far as I know, I'm working on an article about the third realm and the other realms. But I believe that it's going to come in. We're coming into it faster than we think. Sometimes I have just sort of, oh, Lord, it's been so long. Will we ever, never get there? And then other times he just speaks to me so softly and says, it's coming quicker than you think. And I believe that he will bring us as fast as we'll let him take us. You know, some kids, she's a school teacher over here, has been, and they have different levels of grade levels. And the kids that are extra smart, they have to have all kinds of extra work all the time to keep them quiet. And look at Charlene. She goes to extra work looking up things. And you women who don't go out to work and have hours on end that you don't know what to do, don't watch the soap operas. Start looking up words. If you want to look up something, I was looking today about the word obey. My land, that's in there hundreds and hundreds of times. Look up and read every scripture on obedience, and that will help you. And, you know, this week we've had the health laws. And of course, everybody says, don't be telling me what to eat. I'll eat what I please. I mean, not everybody, but those rebellious ones will say that. But the Lord gave us a set of rules, and he says, I'll put none of those diseases upon you if you'll obey me. And I think that it's time that every Christian begins to obey. And we can overcome. We don't have to be quitters. We don't have to turn back. We don't have to stay in one place. We can keep moving. The more we study this Bible, the more I saw scriptures she read today I've never seen in my life before. I had scriptures marked all around them, but I didn't have those marked. We're going to be tried. We're going to suffer. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be bruised, but we're going to rise up above it. Because Jesus was bruised, so we wouldn't have to suffer. We can take it all to him. We're going to learn to be a hardened soldier. We're going to learn how to die to self. So we won't want to be seen of men. Can you really be trusted with a ministry? It's only the faithful ones that God can really trust with his kind of anointing. He said, many are called, but few are chosen, but he's looking for the faithful. And he said, I don't mind to call you brethren. And then we're going to clothes, and if you need prayer, why we'll sure be up here, and the workers will be able to pray with you. Now, some people will say, well, what is wrong with me? Well, I think most of you, if you'll just think a little bit, sin, start repenting right that instant. And we sin with our thoughts and our minds and our words. Our tongue is a world of iniquity. And there's many, many things that we could say, and there's been a lot said this week. I would advise you to get the sets of tapes of Norman Parrish. They are deep, neat. Brother Holzhauser, he just has outdone himself in teaching on deliverance, and the anointing of God, which destroys the yoke, was on him every single day, and there was all kinds of tremendous, tremendous deliverances, and he taught beautiful. And yesterday, he said some profound things, I thought, on the Harlot Church. And I haven't heard a sermon like that since Derek Prince preached one. Are you a bride or are you the harlot, church? Are you the bride, part of the bride, or are you the harlot? I don't know where that tape is. I'm sure we have it someplace, but it is an excellent tape. And Bob Mixon's ministry, I didn't get to hear it today. We were praying for somebody upstairs. And they say it was a masterpiece, and I'll listen to it. Every time you re-listen to tapes, you learn a lot because, you see, our minds are tired now. We've had days and days of ministry, and you put those tapes on a week or so later, and you'll say, and I'm always saying to Glenn, I didn't hear that. I didn't know that went on. I couldn't remember that. And you learn so much, and we're just so pleased to have all of you here, all you new ones that have come. How many new that haven't been here yesterday? They haven't been here yesterday. See, there's quite a few people from Monroe come in, I know, and the Lord bless you. And there's a lot of new people that have never been to camp, and tonight we're going to have a wonderful service, and I hope I can keep these eyes open. They keep wanting to shut right now until the new year of 84. And just think what's going to happen in 84. We've had so many beautiful things happen in 83. It's just been incredible, and it's gone by just like that. Time is flying faster and faster, it seems like. And we're almost up through the 6,000 years, or 6 days. We're almost through, and we're just about ready to cross over into the millennium. The seventh day, and that's going to be rest and peace and work. But it will not be such a battle, because once you have attained the prize, then you take your orders right from the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be no one. I wonder if that was a good prophecy, or am I prophesying in part? It will be. We'll know the Lord in all ways, in all ways. We'll have all power, all knowledge, the seven spirits of God. We'll have the fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I how many want, everybody stands who would like to come into that realm. Are you going to preach? Oh, okay. You want to come pray? You don't want to do anything.
Why bother?
Let's just look at Jesus and just start thanking him for everything that's happened this week and worshiping and praising him. It's prayer and praise, and then it's worship. It's thanksgiving and singing, worshiping the Lord. And let's just start thanking him for everything you can remember that he's done for you this week or for others around you. Father, we thank you for all these people. Jesus, we just praise you for all the work you've done in their lives. We just thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the anointing of the Lord, for the singers, for the speakers, for all these people, these hungry people that have come and have been so teachable and so wonderful. Thank you for the cooks, all of the people that have cleaned the restrooms and swept the floors, and worked with the tapes and at the book table and the cashier and all of that. Lord, we're part of your family, and we love all of the family of God. And Lord, today, if there's someone here that just must be prayed for, that needs prayer and don't want to wait, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet their needs. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to deliver, even this afternoon, and deliver tonight, and bring us into a unity that we've never known, so that we can all pull together toward one effort of delivering creation. And we know, Lord, the whole earth, the whole creation is waiting on tiptoes for an answer, for the sons of God to come forth and be manifested, for these overcomers to come forth and deliver them. They're hurting, Lord. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to quickly bring us into that realm. We ask you to do it quickly, Lord, all of us, to bring us into that realm of really and truly knowing you, knowing your will, knowing your voice, and obeying you in all things, both small and great. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody wants prayer, you make your way to the front.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC
online.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.